seen in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this show, Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. Yeah, I am. 16th of February, 2015. And this week, I'm going to continue, certainly today, and possibly tomorrow. I'm going to continue my discussion and exposure of the so-called rules of engagement. I can speak from a military point of view. I got out as a captain in the Marine Corps. I was a commander, infantry, three or four companies under my belt, and recruiting duty as a commanding officer of a recruit training company, 1st Battalion Alpha Company, or Alpha Company, 1st Battalion Recruit Training, Paris Island Depot. I was in Okinawa for a year as a commanding officer, and I've been recruiting. I've been in Buffalo, New York, 70 years. So I've been all aspects of the Marine Corps. One not, though, and which also delineates another rite of passage of Marines. I was never in actual combat, but between 75, 2 months after Vietnam ended, and about 3 years before the Gulf War in the early 90s. So I got out in 87. So I was in between the wars, prepared to go, but didn't go. We're always prepared to go to war. As a Marine, you're ready to go virtually on call. Every Marine is, pretty much. You're the first strike force as a Marine. Family, I have to expose in my broadcast on a continuous basis the reality of which we've been directed. Some people don't like hearing it. But I feel a need to expose it, whether I have five people listening or 500. I still have to say it because it's what I have to do, and I know what's going on. And I don't say that into a way to say, well, I know Tom Gamble knows what's going on. Not at all. I have on my broad on my website, watchmenforjesus.com, is a background for me if you want to check in my history, but it's not for me. I know that lends to credibility and all that. That's the only reason. Because what I have to tell you on a regular basis on my broadcast is almost opposite of what we've been told, and what I'm telling you, I give evidence for. If I give an opinion, my opinion is based on a series of facts. Then I draw an opinion. That's how you do it. Either way, you've got facts one way or the other. The drawn opinion can be twisted if so inclined, but the facts give you a basis of an opinion. I don't trust just opinion just out of the sky. Don't, that doesn't count. It must be related to facts, or itself is a fact that's provable. And three or more facts, substantiated, confirmed, would give you that relayed fact that you're going to put out on the air. It's got to be a system. And then when you have what you think is your opinion based on facts or a fact itself, you state your declaration of whatever it is, then what I do myself is I go back and try to tear it down as if I was against myself to find out holes in it, if there's any part. I scrutinize my sources. That being said, some of the things I have to tell you may appear to be outlandish, but they're based on facts. We've been lied to since the day you were born. I'm sorry, but you have been. That is another fact. The history books are virtually worthless. Yeah, you got it. That's a fact. History is written by the winners, and the winners are the secret societies that's against you. Every single one of them is against you as American. Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, the Skull and Bones guys, Rhodes Scholars take a blood oath of that's closer to Satan than it is anything else. Don't take Rhodes Scholars like Clinton, Naomi Wolf, Wesley Clark as Americans. They're not Americans at all. They're Luciferians. They belong to a secret society because they took a blood oath against you. You don't believe me? Look it up yourself. Find out for yourself. Rick Joyner, Jerry Brinkman. I don't care if you've known them in Command Staff College. I don't care if you knew them as lieutenants. They're no longer the same ones that you knew in those days. And they will lie to you because they took a blood oath to do so. They all fulfill the New World Order's agenda for a New World Order that goes back generations upon generations. These are the facts I'm telling you. You heard me right. Capital F. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then today I'm going to get into it. I have a fairly lengthy documentary I found that really lays it out. I'm impressed with the documentary. You can take it how you want to. I'll have some dialogue in it, and you'll hear actual testimony, sort of like I did last week. Don't believe anything I say. I do not want you to believe a word I say from the time I start to the time I finish. I want you to challenge what I say. Don't believe it. Challenge it. Don't be lazy. Challenge it. Go after it. Prove me wrong. I don't get anything for it either way. It's just you need to do your own research. You need to go after it. You never take the word of one person ever in this game that we are into of truth-telling. Never take one person's word. And just because they're a Harvard professor means absolutely zero. If they're the president, it means zero. If they're a four-star general speaking to the Senate, you got to be kidding me. Because they're members of the Council of Foreign Relations. They're made liars by design because they want to, because they brief the Council of Foreign Relations that is, in fact, the Illuminati that was created by the Rockefellers in 1921. Oh, yeah. And the Council of Foreign Relations, if you had an uncle, a great-grandfather, whatever, that died in Korean War, literally, documented, literally, Korean War and Vietnam, any deaths, I mean all of them, and World War II, you can blame flat on the members of the Council of Foreign Relations of that generation. And the deaths today, you can blame on the Council of Foreign Relations today. And your secret societies. Not the Muslim terrorists, because they're controlled by the secret societies. They're controlled by the CIA, KGB, Mossad, all of them, BND, DGSC. All of the security agencies work together worldwide. And that's a fact. I have the table of organization. I got names. Family, you got to know what you're dealing with in reality. I'm going to lay it out. And then you don't believe me, and then you do your own research, and you find out what's going on. You must see it yourself. I'd like to give a preliminary statement before I dedicate the broadcast. Sometimes I'll do it immediately. Sometimes it'll be 7 to 10 minutes later. But there's certain things I got to do to lay the groundwork. It's in my heart to speak. Because I take this broadcast very serious. Extremely so. And I just feel that time is short to get the word out to people. And I depend on the Holy Spirit to guide where the words go and who receives them. Because we're coming to a paradigm very soon. Once again, they've tried many times, and they failed, but it doesn't mean they don't keep trying, because they've tried and set up every single generation, leading to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, until they finally get it turned out, you might want to call it, and they'll plan 100 years in advance. You understand this? 26 families, to be exact, plus of royalties. With names, locations. They can't be touched. But Jesus will. They have no idea what's going to come on their heads. They have no idea that their time is limited. And there's nothing they can do about it. Because they're dealing with the supernatural that's going to take them out, actually. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then today, I'm going to hit you with some news. How it's connected. Rules of engagement, and how to use it. And if I have to, I'll go until tomorrow. You need to know how this world really works. Because it's coming to a... It's coming to a head. As you can tell in the news nowadays anyway. Lord, we come today before you in prayer. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We lift up to you today this broadcast and tonight, Lord, the Bible studies that we do all week. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you give us that we can have our own network, those that follow this network. And Father, we thank you for the opportunities you give us. And Lord, we thank you for the divine appointments you give us that will test us, that pulls out that we will tell the truth, that, Lord, that we will be tested for what we say. And, Father, the Holy Spirit will guide us to the right decisions. Father, we pray to you for this week, Lord, and all the rest. We pray, Father, the full armor of God around us. Father, we know that the time is coming. And we know, Lord, we can sense, we can tell, Father, through your Holy Spirit discernment, that we're coming once again to a change of this world, that we're entering a new phase, a phase that's getting closer to this world order that Satan has set up for generations upon generations. Though we know that, Father, it's in your time, that you've delayed it many times in the past, and over the past generations you've stopped them, all the way back to the days of medieval, the Renaissance, and even before, that, Father, they've tried many times, but Father, you've been there all along to keep them delayed, causing them to fight each other, causing them to go against their own plans. That Father, you're the only one in control. But Father, I know that this world is pulling away once again, as in the days of Noah. That Father, once it does, we know, Lord, you'll let go. And Father, that's when the judgment will begin. Father, to prepare us for that day, that we can see these changes, we can see these events as they unfold, and get through the deception that's coming out from the churches, coming out from the governments, that we can see through it with discernment and use wisdom to be able to preach a true word of God. And protection, Lord, to the point that you bring us home. That's why, Father, we pray the full armor of God, the belt of truth around our waist, to show us the truth about yourself through your King James Bible, the plans and ways in which you lead us, and the Holy Spirit which guides us. That you are the wisdom and the counselor, the hope and the strength of which you lie for us to deal with the supernatural. Father, we pray on the breastplate of righteousness. We thank you for showing us the truth about ourselves, that on our own, we can never be good enough to live in your presence. But Lord, through your Holy Spirit, through your guidance and your saving grace, you guide us along. We thank you for taking the sins of the cross and giving us righteousness. But Father, we thank you for the infirmities you give us to keep us humble. We thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, forgiving me, forgiving those that's praying, Lord, you can hear their prayers, and filling us with your righteous life. That, Father, we fall away as we do. You'll convict us to put us back on track. Father, we pray all in the sandals of peace. And we thank you for the peace you give us when we trust and follow you, to show us how to help others find that same peace and courage. Father, we pray in our arms the shield of faith. We thank you for helping us to have faith in you. And we choose to count on everything you have given us and shown us about yourself, that you've, through your prophets, through your Bible, and insight and wisdom you've given us, and that we can depend on the promises you give us in your word. Father, we place all in the helmet of salvation. We thank you for the promising of salvation to protect our minds from the thoughts that may be not pleasing to you. And into our hands, we place our weapon, our formidable weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Almighty Word of God from the King James Bible. We thank you for the scriptures that you've given us to memorize, to guide us along. Holy Spirit, to discern it and give us that definition that we need, Lord, to live our lives. And to show us up, to show us that if we're going in the wrong direction, your word of God will stand. Help us to cut through the deceptions and gain your victory in any battle we may face today and we see them increasing. We pray for those, Lord, we prayed for in the past of healing, bringing the families together, and Lord, for protection for those that's new, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray for these churches, Lord, to give these preachers courage to step away from the control that they're under by the Freemasonry, or the tax-exempt plans where the government controls them, Lord, these things, and these National Council of Churches, these subversive groups, that, Lord, you'll give them the courage and protection to step away and preach the true word to their parishioners. Father, we need that Holy Spirit to guide us along and the outpouring to be whenever thy wills be done. But, Father, we wait for that day. That's why we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, one of my favorite tricks of the supernatural is to show you how evil Satan is, right? The human sacrifices and pain and torture and all this and all that. He's got those old horns sticking out, and he's got that ugly-looking face, and he's got all this nasty stuff going on, and everything is identified, drugs and all this and all that. That's what you attribute to being evil. You can see it, and it's evil. And the ones that's evil, they like it. The ones that do it, they worship Satan. Well, that goes to city council meetings and government buildings and government officials and military commanders. They even have satanic worship on the bases like Fort Hood and other places, Camp Lejeune and Parris Island and Fort Bragg, all of them. Some out west, and they're bringing the Wicca in. The Wicca, the witches, Satan, the Wicca, Lucifer, Mother Earth, and all that other nonsense. You want to worship Mother Earth? Well, crawl around the ground a little bit and lick some dust or something. I don't know. It's a big old rock out in space that God made up so we can live here on it. It doesn't have a soul or a spirit. Yet you have a council city member, a vice mayor that prayed to Mother Earth in a city council meeting December 2014. I'm sure you've heard Lake Worth, Florida prayer. This vice mayor, half of the council meetings left to finish with that stupid prayer to Satan or whatever. Satan, Allah, Krishna, Thor even. When he first said it, I wondered if he's played video games. But no, he actually did that in a grown-up council meeting. If Almighty Thor is with you, who's against you? I'm like, what? And people just stood there listening. These are adults we're talking about in a city council meeting. This is serious. It's in your schools. It's in your council meetings, your PTA, your military commanders at Pentagon, and your legislative branches of Democrats and Republicans at the very highest level, your senators. And the ones it's not, they're in fear of their jobs or in fear of their life. Literally. Y'all ever heard of this word that starts with an A? Oh, yeah. It's called assassination. Happens quite a bit. Jesuits in the poison cup. It's real. They try to trivialize it in the movies and Dan Brown and all those other wackos that come out with these novels to make it look like it's some novelty. But that's to downplay it so you won't take it serious. Well, here's the point. The point is, you know what evil is. So they come out with what doesn't appear to be evil. My child, I am here with you. I'm here for you. And all this other nonsense to make it look like it's benevolent. When actually both are evil. So they show you the dialectic of what's evil that I've just described. Then they show you what seems to be loving and caring and all this, but that's to lead you away from Jesus Christ. It's called the New Age movement. Where all mankind is going to evolve. Oh, that's what they're telling their people now, between March and June. The fifth dimension arising. It's not them at all. They do the yoga. They do the meditation. They do the human sacrifices. They do the other ways that don't seem like it's evil. But they are manipulated by the supernatural. And they think that's them. That's a human. Look at me. I'm now a crystallized being. Another such nonsense. But it's not them at all. The whole idea is to give them a smorgasbord of choices on this big old salad bar. You just pick whatever religion you want, whatever you want to believe, it's okay. It's not a problem, really. So that means God's a liar. And for those that pick their own religion, and you've got your own thing going on, how's that working for you lately? How many of you have created a universe, or a earth? How about create just a little animal somewhere? Just make up something, and poof, wabo, there you go. You made it. You created an animal. How many of y'all have done that so far? In your God studies and courses of miracles and how to talk to your angels and all that stuff in New Age, Oprah type stuff. How's it working for you? How many have come back from the dead and said, oh, it works? Houdini tried, but I don't think he made it. Oh, they try to tell you this guy was dead for 45 minutes and came back to life. Then you got kids going to heaven that come back and God says there's no such thing as sin. Right. You see, all this is part of the deception. It's that deception. How to control people, religion, politics. But how do you control people? The best way to control people, they determined in 1909, Carnegie Peace Foundation did a study in 1909 of how to control people the best way. It took them a year to figure that out. You know what they came up with? War. The wars were already planned before 1871. Albert Pike planned, in conceptual terms, to be carried out, and it was carried out, exactly like it planned it, with exception of World War II. They never achieved a world government in World War II. They just added to it and kept on going with the planning to Korea, Vietnam, all planned out. All planned out. We're taught in the military. In TBS, I go, okay, you go through a basic training as an officer in Quantico. I went to Cap Upshur. I don't really have it anymore. 72, 75. I went to Cap Upshur, way out in the boonies in Quantico. Kind of like an officer's equivalent to Paris Island. But there, they try to weed you out. What they did to us at Cap Upshur was the old way. Matter of fact, my drill instructor, my senior drill instructor, was a Korean veteran. Was just retiring when I was going in. He's a gunnery sergeant. Woods, he was called. He was right out of the book, man. Right out of the book. He's a proverbial gunnery sergeant who had been through Korea and Vietnam. He had a Silver Star and all that. Staff Sergeant Smolin was his assistant. They did it the old way. Well, they build us in a certain way. They build us to kill, which is understandable because we have an enemy to deal with. And then when you graduate from college, you're commissioned as a second lieutenant. You go through what's called TBS, the basic school in Quantico, for advanced tactics as a lieutenant, second lieutenant, butter bar. 6 months of that, and then you're put out in the fleet to do whatever job you're supposed to do. Then you go to further specialty schools or whatever. And so you finally get to the rank of captain, say, which I did, and then you're heading toward major, and you go to what's called Commander Staff College at some point in time. I guess they still do that. It's been 30 years before I was in. FSSG's changed about three times since I've been in, I think, to another designation. Force Service Support Group has got, I think, with three generations of changes of acronyms for that one since I've been in. Here's my point. Everything we were taught in TBS, everything that would have been taught if I went to Command Staff College as a major or a lieutenant colonel, whatever, all this tactics, all this Sun Tzu art of war and all this other nonsense. Oh, you heard me right. All these tactics you learn in mechanized school and armor school and maneuvering of companies and regiments and battalions and all this, single envelopment, double envelopment, all this stuff they come up with, and amphibious warfare schools, a captain, and all this stuff they come up with, all these tactics. And then I come to find out, really ticked me off bad fairly recently. It just come to my mind as I was looking back over the rules of engagement. All that training that they go through is for doggone not. You know why? Because every single war, I mean, there's no exception. Not one exception in any engagement. Not one exception. Except maybe World War II, when they didn't achieve world government then. The only exception. You see, God's in control, but here's the point before I get off on that track. All these tactics you learn, all the equipment you have, from ships to planes to whatever, is bogus. You know why? Because the hierarchy, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits, they've already decided who's going to win disengagement and who's going to lose. That's correct. That is absolutely correct. Vietnam, you're restricted, right? Couldn't go across certain borders. Korea. How was it that the 9 divisions of communist Chinese cross over the Yalu and 30th parallel and come on in there? How'd that happen? Because we blockaded the free Chinese of 500,000 men to keep them from coming over to China to claim it back, and they would have too. They were ready to fight to get back their homeland from exiled, free China, democratic China. We blockaded them with the 7th Fleet ordered by the State Department, which is kowtowing to the Council of Foreign Relations, who kowtows to the Illuminati and the lion, stinking, rotten Jesuits. Get my attitude. So now, go back to what I said 30 minutes ago, give or take. Your dead uncle, grandfather, that died in the Korean War and Second World War, you distinctly can blame their death, as the Germans can blame the death of theirs as well, on the Council of Foreign Relations in America and the Royal Institute of National Affairs in London, Tavistock, the Jesuit, the lying little low-crawling Jesuits from the Roman Catholic Church are responsible for the death of your family members, of everyone in Arlington and everyone of the Korean War and World War II. And I got the evidence, I got the testimony, and how they did it. FDR, Churchill, his upper-level cousin, and the Japanese elite planned Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s. That's fact. And practiced it in 1932. 160 planes got so real close to Pearl Harbor in a military exercise in 1932. They practiced it. They knew a full 10 years or more about Pearl Harbor and when it was going to take place. It's all coming out now, but they didn't tell them that back then. Just as Churchill literally, and J.P. Morgan literally, could be tried in 1916, 1917, say hypothetically, for the murder of 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania. Literally, they set him up to die. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't a mistake. It was a distinct agenda to sink that ship, Lusitania, to get us in the war. That was the sole purpose of it. In the same purpose line, and I got quotes on this. You want to challenge it, man, go ahead. I wish you would. Oh, please do. Please challenge it. That they set up the murder of all those at Pearl Harbor, and FDR and Churchill could also be tried and convicted for murder of those in Pearl Harbor. It's not just America. It's every single country, Russia, China, it don't matter. The secret society members and the royal families use us as their cannon fodder to set up their world government. But they haven't been able to. How come is that? If they're in control, why is it they haven't been able to achieve it? Because they're dealing with the supernatural. And they know this, too. By the way, your Clintons and Buchanans, they're high priests in the Luciferian. They worship Lucifer, Jimmy Carter. That's a fact. They wear the robes. They do the whatever. Bohemian Grove. You see pictures of Nixon and his other lying cousin Reagan. You see the Europeans like Cameron and Tony Blair and the rest of those liars. And Putin and the leaders of China, Scandinavia, Belgium, every doggone one of them are members of the secret society and royal bloodline families using us as cannon fodder to achieve their government. Now, back to what I was talking about, how the best way to control people, by war. That's the best way. Now, listen, in 1966, they knew that the next world war was going to devastate the world, but have to be carefully planned. It hadn't happened yet, obviously. So they knew after World War II, and they didn't achieve world government, as they'd planned in six phases, controlled by rules of engagement and substandard equipment given to the Americans. Our T-35s, I think, our tanks did not come close to matching up with the Panzers. Imagine that. What's the deal here? And our equipment, substandard. It always has been substandard. By design. By design. Now, I'm going to cover some detail on this week. I'm not ready to do it yet. I'm going to lay out the wars and how they control them. But rules of engagement, certainly in a peacekeeping role like Kosovo, which I was there for 5 years in Kosovo, I saw it firsthand, up close and personal, eyeball to eyeball. I saw the genocide of the Serbs taking place the 5 years I was there. I know it happened because I saw it happen. 1,500 Serbs were massacred, murdered in Kosovo over the long term by rebels. You can call them Albanian rebels, but they were even apart from Albanians. Albanians are good people. Serbs are good people. But you put the UN, which I was up close and personal with them because I worked for the OSCE. I saw some good UN people that wanted to make a difference. When they try to make a difference and report things that were sent away, everybody was in fear of their jobs and all that. But I kept blasting away at every meeting. My 7-year contract ended up being 5 years. Because I maintain myself to being relentless no matter what the circumstances. I don't worry about circumstances. The truth be told. And I'm documented as such. It's on the record. So we're all being lied to. Everything's upside down, and that could be proven. Now, if you don't want to know it, I suggest you want to probably listen to another broadcast. Because I'm not going to back down. And I'm going to tell you the truth, whether I lose listeners or not. I'm not overly concerned about that because I'm not here for a financial endeavor by no stretch of the imagination. I'm here to tell you the truth. The Germans were victim to their government. The Americans were victim to their government. And the governments were working together. Germany, Hitler, his ministers, Churchill, FDR, our CFR, were working together. You understand this? Working together to set up a new world order. I got quotes. I think some folks out there might think I'm just full of mud, so I just let you and my regular listeners bear with me here for a minute. If you want evidence, doggone it, I'm going to give you some evidence. And you want to challenge it, I wish you would. But I'm going to let you know what FDR said behind closed doors. Never to be revealed to the public. But was revealed in the late 40s, early 50s, by Senator Lundeen, who gave a speech behind closed doors, secretly, but he gave this speech to William G. Carr before 1955. And he included it in the book called Red Fog Over America. I got the first edition of it in 1955. And he said in front of three congressional committees that were secretly formed. And Senator Lundeen, look him up right now, L-U-N-D-E-E-N. And then it took him a year, but waited till FDR died. And then he gave this actual quote to William G. Carr. Now you listen to this carefully. And this quote said behind closed doors, March of 4th, 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, and 6 years after a military coup was planned but failed to happen. General Butler, plot to seize the White House. Oh, yeah. I got extreme details on that. Here's what the real FDR, which is representative of every American president and European president, before and after. This is the real attitude of all the presidents, except for the ones that were assassinated. Imagine that. So this quote by four-time president, which is the same as Bush, as Clinton, the Bushes, Obama, Hoover, you name them, man. LBJ, one of the worst ones there was. Reagan, that liar, is an actor. That ought to be a clue right there, just like Ventura and Schwarzenegger, whatever his name is, Nazi. Every one of them signed their name to Lucifer before they could make it in this world. Absolutely. Well, this president, FDR, was one of the worst. Here's what he said behind closed doors, and you make your own choice up. Listen to the words very carefully as I read them. He said in front of three congressional committees, witness Senator Lundeen wrote it down word for word, as FDR said the following, I quote, I am making no concessions to business or for any relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people, that was Illuminati, ahead of all instruments. That was word for American citizens. I'm putting my people ahead of all instruments. And I'll have a full understanding with Chamberlain. And we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people as far as the democracy is concerned. It doesn't exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business. I'm going to infest America with all the aliens possible. I'm going to infest America with all the aliens possible. And last analysis, we'll declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me. I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. And do you know that 100 years before that, his cousin, a cousin of FDR, Clinton Roosevelt, gave the document necessary for Karl Marx to plagiarize, called the Communist Manifesto, but Clinton Roosevelt entitled it The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws. Natural laws, humanism, communitarianism, which a lot of people don't know about, Marxism, which is inside of all your schools. I've proven it over and over and over. Communitarianism, Marxism, socialism. If this is an ism, it's created by the Vatican, the lion murdering, low crawling Jesuits. They get my point across? And this itself was nothing more than a plagiarized version of the teachings of Adam Weishaupt, Frankfurt University in Germany, who was a Jesuit. What a surprise that was, huh? He just passed it on for the World Revolutionary Movement. The conspiracy of Satan, which is what they worship. I don't care whether you believe it or not. They do. How do they do it? By rules of engagement. The rules of engagement are designed to control the outcome of the war. That's what they're for. Rules of engagement, for example, they wanted to defeat Russia. The Rothschilds did, control them. Because they torpedoed the Rothschilds' agenda and the Congress of Vienna. So to take down Russia before 1904, they planned it in 1870s. They industrialized had to get rid of, they did, the samurai warrior and the feudal system. They eliminated it. Simultaneously, the Rothschilds fomented the attack against the Indians in the 1860s, 1870s. Simultaneous. Because we had a weakened military. I'm going to talk about that later this week. Has a lot to do with what's going on today, by the way. So by the time that Japan had gotten rid of the samurai warrior, their own people, for centuries the samurai warrior protected Japan. The Rothschilds, to industrialize Japan, caused Japan to fight each other. Sound familiar? North, South, you guys? Sound familiar? Bundy Ranch? Sound familiar today? Fighting each other? Do we ever learn? Anyway, so by rules of their engagement, one side of the Rothschilds funded Russia, the Romanovs. And another side of the Rothschilds funded Japan. They cut their teeth on China. So they set up the Russia-Japanese War to bring in Lenin. Here's what they did. Rules of engagement. The side funding Russia pulled back their money. Man, you're not going to fight a war with beans, band-aids, and without beans, band-aids, and bullets. You're going to lose. Unless you got really good slingshots. But you don't. So Japan won that war. 1904. So the Jesuits got control of it. Russia brought in Lenin and Trotsky and all the other wackos. And they were taught by Adam Weishaupt his lessons going back to 1700s. To destroy a family, destroy a country, and destroy the family. Lenin was a quote. They learned the strategies, the principles of the World Revolutionary Movement through the secret societies. Lenin was brought into the mix then. So was Trotsky. Here comes Woodrow Wilson and League of Nations, and here you go. It was done by maneuver. So it doesn't matter how good Russia was. It doesn't matter how good Japan was. It was controlled like puppets. The exact same happened for us in the Korean War. They want to make sure our troops died. Those like Iwo Jima and all those little Saipan and all those, they didn't have to attack those islands. All they had to do was surround them, starve them. But they wanted maximum casualties. They wanted the money spent for the war effort. Did you know the Rockefellers made $200 million in World War I? They made money on it. See how it works? Death and destruction caused by the secret societies. Council of Foreign Relations. Royal Institute of National Affairs. Rules of engagement are designed to manipulate the outcome of all wars. All of them. No exception. Now, between now and Friday, probably Wednesday to Friday, I'm going to lay out a whole layout. I'm not sure when I'm going to do it exactly, but I'm going to give you a whole layout of how they maneuvered us from 1700s, even before, and how they set it up. Leading up till today, we've been lied to. Our ancestors were lied to. And this can be absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Denying it won't stop the truth. Killing it, God's just going to come up with somebody else. He will never stop. Even the Germans were victim to the Illuminati and the Jesuits. The Japanese soldiers were victims of the same enemy that we all really, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Americans, the Germans, really, as military specialists, we have the same enemy. Didn't even know it. Hermann Göring, another Illuminati for the Germans, said, and I quote, "Why, of course the people don't want war. Why would some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his old farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That's understood. But after all, It is the leaders, the country, who determine the policy. It's always a simple matter to drag the people along. Whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them they're being attacked. Denounce the peacemakers as a lack of patriotism and expose the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Unquote, Hermann Göring. Abraham Lincoln said, before he was assassinated by the Jesuits and the Freemasons, Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, about the Civil War, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of our noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinions between the North and the South on the question of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that, under the mask of democracy, the money and arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us." You'll find that in 50 Years of the Church of Rome by Charles Chitney, 1885. Is that sinking in? One more for you. Douglas MacArthur, Korea. The possibility of Red China entry in the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize blockade Formosa, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek forces of 500,000 men, unquote. See, Formosa could have come over there and taken Red China back to the free Chinese. But the 7th Fleet protecting Red China. In other words, the 7th Fleet was working against American forces in Korea. Our own fleet, American Navy, was working for the Russian, or working for the Chinese. Resulted in the routing of, I think it's the 25th and 26th Infantry Regiment of the Army, surrounded the Marines with Chesty Puller in the middle, was called by our own naval fleet because they blockaded Chiang Kai-shek, thereby allowing the Chinese, communist Chinese, to come down to the North Korea. 9 divisions. They even offered 33,000 troops to fight in North and South Korea. 5 days later, and the State Department refused it. General Lim Pao, North Korean general, said, and I quote, "I would never have made the attack and risked my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my line of supply communication," unquote. You see, Lin Pao was a general in the Red Chinese Army. Family, this goes and goes and goes and goes. This is the conduct of war. So you can do all your command staff college regimental maneuvers, battalion maneuvers, and learn all these tricks and calling in fire and all this stuff. It don't matter a hill of beans, because the Jesuits, using rules of engagement, control the conduct of every single war and battle, to make sure it goes the way that they want it to, no matter how good a tactic you use. This is the absurdity of it all. This is the truth. One more. December the 9th, 1950, the Chicago Tribune actually got a good article put out. All the newspapers are controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations as they place editors in charge of every major newspaper, and that's a fact. I've got the documentation and the words for that, and goes congressional hearing confirms it. J.P. Morgan bought out 25 major newspapers in 1915. passed on the control to Rockefellers in 1921 when he formed the Council of Foreign Relations. Well, December 9th, 1950, Chicago Tribune got a really good article, and I have the copy of the article. I read it, I think it was a week ago. I found it in Microfiche. I got the actual article. And the article says, quote, it was a long article, but here's part of it. Quote, the members of the council should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, at World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War. Unquote. December 9th, 1950. If you want a copy of it, I can send you a copy-pasted copy of this darn thing. You military commanders that are generals and are good guys, you're being lied to by your lying generals. I don't care who it is, whether you're best friends with him or it's your brother. It don't matter. If he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, he briefs them, a member of the Joint Chief of Staff, he's just tarnished every medal he's ever worn or got. I don't care if it's a Medal of Honor. Don't matter. He has tarnished it. He spit upon it. Because he briefs the enemy. He's turned his back on his own fellow servicemen. And they will turn you over to the enemy in a heartbeat. I.e. plans, patrol routes. That's what they did in Vietnam. In Korea, they backstabbed their own people. Because they belong to the Jesuits. They belong to the secret societies heading toward that New World Order. It don't matter who they are. If they belong to the organization, they're dirty. Some of the things I say on here are dangerous. But I'm just a little guy here, you see. I'm trying to find a way to really escalate it, but nobody supports me except friends and people that send me stuff and to read out. And I've always done this. I've always spoke the truth. I didn't before in my personal life, before 1983. I made it 180. Because I'm not always truthful. I did things I shouldn't have done up to 1985, 86. And by then I was out of the Marine Corps. I mean, this personal life was a mess. All I focused on was the Marine Corps and waiting for that war to go fight and kill somebody. You know what I mean? Let's get down to it. But my life changed in 85, 86, 87. My life changed and I started following Jesus Christ and things started happening. And I changed completely. I fell back a few times, I have to admit. But there's some things I never did again that I used to do that was not good. But one thing I remembered, from then on, I'd always tell the truth from then on. No matter what, even in my own detriment, I won't tell the truth. Telling the truth, if you live a lie there, General, Colonel, Major, I don't care who you are, Congressman, if you live a lie and you know it, you're already a walking dead man. You're dead and you don't even know it. Until you start telling the truth, and I know this, when you tell the truth, you come back alive. I don't care if you got the Medal of Honor, Navy Cross, it don't make a lick of difference. If you start lying, you might as well just take them off your chest. You don't deserve them. It don't matter how brave you were or what you did in battle. You've now disgraced it because you lied to your own subordinates, setting them up to die. Like the Agent Orange barrels used for shower heads. You got to be kidding me. Like bringing women into frontline units as guided by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Oh, did you know that? That was her recommendation to the 1977-78 Civil Rights Commission. Her previous court opinions, she suggested in order to break up the military, one of her suggestions were, and I got it documented, oh, it's there. It's there. I got a copy of the darn thing. Was to bring women to frontline units. And now the Marine Corps is running women through combat training like men. Now, something you Joint Chief of Staff may not recognize, you maybe you don't know, I don't know, but women are different than men. You know, I don't know if you, did you learn this in school maybe? Possibly? Maybe health class or something? See, they have different muscular sections, you understand? Upper body strength is not the same as men. Maybe you didn't know that, I don't know. And they have different medical issues out in the field, you know? And there's this little small problem, and I'm being extremely facetious here, of rape. Yeah, you heard of it before, rape? You never heard of it. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I don't know. And there's male-to-male rape now, thanks to Clinton and Obama, that brings in the homosexual into the military. 15,000 male sexual assaults in 2012. How about that, huh, in the military? And women was 12,000, same period. How about that? Think there's a problem, maybe, in getting along with each other? I don't know. What do you think? I don't see how you people that's out there in the Joint Chief of Staff and Silver Council of Foreign, how do you sleep at night? I mean, you must really, you take a lot of pills, maybe. I don't know. What do you do? Did you have a lobotomy? Maybe you had a lobotomy at Command Staff College. I don't know. What happened? Something happened to you that made you stupid. Because you know better. The idea is to diminish the effectiveness of our military. Why? Why would they do that? To set up the coming of the North American Union and to take over the UN. China and Russia, the United States and Mexico and Canada is going to divide the United States up. To do that, they know they got to reduce the effectiveness of our military fight machine. It's always been that way. At first, they're going to use the military against citizens. That's what I just read you the quote from FDR, all the way up to 1990s. Are the people stupid or what? Y'all are supposed to be smart up there, and you got to be dumb. You should know that American citizens are not going to fire on American citizens. Y'all got to be some kind of stupid. I tell you, makeup can cover up ugly, but stupid man stands out like a sore thumb. So y'all even had to think about that over several generations of military. You got to be kidding me. So finally, 1993, they're bringing you in to go against American citizens. They had to do studies on that to figure it out. And a 40-question test given to Marines at Twin Palms, California, 40 questions. I got a copy of the test. And 5 questions, would you wear the beret, the blue beret, would you fire American citizens? Like 5 questions that are really stupid. But didn't pass too favorably, did it? No. So you had to bring in UN troops through Mexico, bring them in through California, Chinese troops. And under the guise of cross-training in America, the abandoned bases, closed-down bases, you've got UN troops there throughout the United States. Americans don't know this. This is recorded, so if you want to get the rest of it, send it to some general and joint chief, and go for it. Go for it. But you know Donald Rumsfeld? He's my favorite guy, yeah. He has a good answer for it. I can't do it as good as he can. But Donald Rumsfeld, he's the epitome. He's the epitome. He's got the answer. He's got the answer. And he said it one day that Rumsfeld, you got to be kidding me. What he said was, wait a second, you got to hear this. Some of you already heard it. And then I'm going to play you, I'm going to get serious. I mean, Rumsfeld is the biggest joke I ever heard in my life. And this is typical of what we're talking about here. This is an actual press conference. I mean, these people are bold.
There are reports that there is no evidence of a direct link between Baghdad and some of these terrorist organizations.
There are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Excuse me, but is this an unknown unknown?
I'm not.
Several unknowns, and I'm just wondering.
I'm not going to say which it is.
But, Mr. Secretary,
I'm right here.
Fam, we hire these idiots. They make fun of us in these ways. Being a professional military, it's just absolutely disgusting. And we put up with this. We let it happen in our schools. Rules of engagement that get thousands of military men killed because of their rules of stupid engagement is designed to slow you down. Designed to kill off your troops. Designed to influence the outcome of the war and the battles. This is serious, because that's where the graves prove it, and they control it. We'll be going until tomorrow with this. I think this is important to hit on, because Americans need to know, Russians need to know, Chinese need to know, Europeans need to know, to be lied to. Literally, only Jesus Christ, the supernatural, controls, not Jesus Christ, but the supernatural evil in this world, controls the conduct of these governments. Jesus Christ is the only way in the supernatural level. And this is called the tribulation period coming. This is for real. In the meantime, they're keeping us all tied up with these wars and controlling. If you didn't fight the darn wars, wouldn't have these problems. Sounds funny coming from a former U.S. Marine, but I found this to be true. However, we're almost forced to, because in World War II, the Germans didn't know, so we had an enemy. Americans didn't know we had an enemy. So we're going to fight each other like two pit bull dogs that didn't know each other, thrown into the middle. They got to fight to protect themselves against those around them that's making money off of it. Those two pit bull dogs don't know each other. Yet they're thrown in the middle and they got to fight to survive. You see? And that's what's happening today. We're forced to fight just for our own defense, but it's being caused at the highest level to cause us to fight each other. And they use what's called Hegelian dialectic, using the rules of engagement to already figure out how the outcome of the war is going to be. So all the tactics you use, you'll be controlled by the rules of engagement to make sure the pace of the war is controlled. So do you see the absurdity of all this training, all this equipment? Is for nothing. On both sides. So we really have to defend ourselves against an enemy that we manufactured. All right. Now, you've heard me talk about this, and it sounds outrageous, don't it? If you actually research it, you'll find out I'm exactly correct. So I'm going to throw something at you here. Listen carefully to this. I'll do some dialogue within it. And it's a little lengthy, but it gives you a background on what I'm saying. Coming from other than I. So this is kind of my put together thing with this really good video that I heard, or audio that I found, that here we go. From 1789 to 1860. And the elections have all been contrived. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, it's all been set up. And for 50 of the 71 years, all of our presidents, all of them, were slave owners, belonged to the Illuminati, and were cousins. All of them were cousins on the Merovingian bloodline. They're all family members.
By the late 1880s, a message of hope spread across the Great Plains. It was called
Chris Platt.
Ghost Dance. A dance to restore the past when Indian nations were free.
And see, the dance that the Indians were doing, the Wounded Knee, they were afraid of that dance. Hence, Wounded Knee came up. It was all contrived to kill off the Indians in that period of time. And our proclivity to kill and torture both real and manufactured enemies, civilians and children, is unmatched. We're the tool of the Jesuits. And we're not just us. The Germans were. The raw tools of the Jesuits, controlled by Illuminati through the Orsinis. Exactly. Our ignorance and apathy and fear and trust of our government, which is based on the secret societies, as all the other governments, has labeled the American Holocaust that hadn't been told. Operation Meeting House, 1945, Japan. Firebombing Tokyo into complete and total submission. Unbelievable death that can't even be imagined. Truman was controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations and the Vatican. And what they did to Tokyo is beyond human comprehension. They were bombed to submission. No need for the two bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They were surrendering. Truman was ordered by the Vatican to destroy both those cities, even though the Japanese were surrendering almost at the same time. Unbelievable death. There was a fire sacrifice of human beings. Beyond your comprehension. It wasn't American. It was Americans under the control of the Vatican. The firebombing of Tokyo is an interesting study. Hundred thousand civilians were burned to death, 1 million injured, and 1 million more were homeless. What was our motivation to do that? Well, they attacked Pearl Harbor. Yep. Pearl Harbor was set up by our own government, working with the Japanese Mitsui, they call it the royal family, and Churchill planned Pearl Harbor in 1920s. Yep. And 16 square miles were destroyed of Tokyo. You had 5 months later, August the 6th, 1945, it took out Hiroshima. A fire sacrifice. A testing. What they're going to use in the future in World War III. Then 3 days after that was Nagasaki. Ordered by the Jesuits and our puppet government. I'm not anti-government whatsoever. I say you replace the government, it's not going to happen, with non-secret society members. You ferret out the Jesuits. If they're Freemason, Nazi Malta, Nazi Columbus, they're out of a job. And you put real people in, not members of the secret societies. Even I know that's not going to happen, but that would be a way to start, but I don't see it happening. It's impossible. Because they control all that. But see, they're not going to win. It is supernatural. Because these I'm mentioning that are slaves to the Illuminati. And the slaves, the Illuminati are slaves to another group of hierarchy. They will be destroyed, but not by humankind. I'm just letting you know what they've done so far. So you'll know how they conduct with rules of engagement, which is what I'm leading up to. So in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, 135,000 dead Hiroshima, 50,000 dead Nagasaki. And you know that the firebombing of civilians and the destruction in villages in Tokyo was so successful, actually, that it became a core strategy of the U.S. Air Force. In every war that followed that, because in Japan, General LeMay, he relentlessly kept up the incendiary bombing attacks. And by the end of World War II, flames had totally or partially consumed 63 Japanese cities, killing 500,000 people and leaving 8 million homeless. Asia Pacific Journal. And even General Curtis LeMay, he said, and I quote, "I suppose if I'd lost the war, I would have been tried as a war criminal." Well, I got news for you. We lost the war covertly. You know why? Because we brought over 10,000 Nazis